Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and magnify you. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 7. And let me get the screen ready right up here so we can get in our word. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, "The End of All Things is at Hand." The end of all things is at hand. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 4. And let me just say this, saints of God. We're living in a cancel culture. We're living in a woke culture. We see things taking place. Matter of fact, last Sunday, I touched just slightly on mass shootings. And Lord, the following day, Monday, there was another mass shooting in Tennessee. I feel led to pray for the three children that were lost and the adults in Tennessee. It was in a Christian school. And they didn't have to lose their life that day. But let's pray for the bereaved families right now and ask God to comfort them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the families in Tennessee. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just comfort their hearts. And we know, God, we're living in the last days. You said, God, in the book of Matthew 24, that it would be like the days of Lot and Noah right before you return. Also, God, so give us the endurance, oh God. Oh God, give us the grace to go through as we witness these horrific things, oh God. But you spoke of them already. So as believers, we're not taken by surprise. You said we would see these things. And so, God, comfort the family. Comfort those, Lord, that surround them, oh God. And comfort our hearts. Knowing, Lord, that you are for us and never against us. So, God, thank you. Thank you for this family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friends, I've entitled once again this evening's message, "The End of All Things is at Hand." So, let's go there and read the Word of God in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men. Ooh, that's key right there, saints. But for who? The will of God. Verse 3 and 4. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation or dissipation, speaking evil of you. Wow, look at this, verse 5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? My goodness, my goodness. So, let's go and break this down. As you know, we go book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. And so here we go. In verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has what? Ceased from sin. Oh, that's an interesting verse of scripture right there. You see, saints, Peter explained that Christ had suffered and died for sins once and for all, and that all believers should be ready to suffer. Oh, that's right. We don't want to hear that sometimes, but we will suffer. Jesus said there will be tribulation in our time, in our days, in the future of his time. And he explained that if they had to suffer, it should be for doing good, not for doing evil, in order to be a good witness to what? Unbelievers. Unbelievers need to see you and I suffer some things, saints of God. Oh, that's right. That's right. And they want to see us not pouting and being depressed and being lonely. No, he wants us to portray to the unbelievers that we can still have joy in the midst of sorrow. Praise God. Praise God. And so here the point is slightly different, saints. Believers ought to be ready to suffer as Christ suffered, not simply to be a good witness to others, but in order to stay away from sin. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, my friends, the phrase arm yourself is a military metaphor. And with that, were they to arm themselves? That's a good question, isn't it? The same attitude in Christ had towards suffering. And this does not mean that believers should actively seek martyrdom. No, not at all. Nonetheless, saints of God, they should arm themselves for death if necessary. Oh, that's right. I asked this question. Would you be willing to give your life for Christ? Well, guess what? We all know that during the Great Tribulation and the church is removed, those who decide, I need Jesus, will have to give their life. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, they will be beheaded for their faith. I'd rather receive Jesus now. Can I get an amen? Because right now, it's grace and faith. But in the near future, in the Great Tribulation, you will have your head removed for your faith. Wow. Wow. So, my friends, if believers suffer, it ought to be for what? For living the Christian faith. They ought to suffer courageously, knowing that God will ultimately be what? Victorious. Because we read the Bible, he's already won. He's won the war. We just got to stay in the battle. And those who are armed with this intention, saints, have an unswerving resolve to do God's will in every situation. Why? So armed will be able to stand strong in the face of any persecution. How many is willing to stay in the battle? You see, my friends, you and I, we can persevere. Why? Because of our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right. Look at the scripture I found right here in John. In John 20, 21. Look at this. Remember the word. This is Jesus now. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also what? Persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these, look at this. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? You see, having died in Christ, Christians are one with him and are legally free from the penalty of sin. Praise God. And you and I are in union with Christ so that we can regard ourselves as dead to sin. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in the book of Romans here, just to confirm this. Look at this in Romans 6, 5 through 11. We need to look at this carefully. Look, let's read it. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, meaning dying to sin. Knowing that this is our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Praise God. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Verse 11, say this with me at home. Likewise, come on. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, when you get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, my friends, God gives you brand new life. That's why Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. And when you receive the Holy Spirit of God, he gives you eternal life, abundant life, a joyful life, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of loss, even in the midst of physical sickness, there is still joy. Why? Because we all understand that this body's temporal. It's only here but for a moment. And this is why we should never fear that when death is knocking at the door, guess what? We're about to be with Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So saints of God, believers are no longer bound by sin's penalty. And we all must strive and practice to be free from its power, its repetition. Don't look at that. Don't hear that no more. Don't speak those foul things anymore. We should be walking in the newness of life. And we should have power over those things now. At one time, we didn't have no power. Before we got saved, we just did what this sinful body wanted us to do. Oh, that's right. So, the new birth gives us freedom and power to live holy and righteous before God. You see, my friends, suffering, it can be helpful in that area. Oh, that's right. And just as Christ's sufferings led to death and resurrection, so our suffering can help us stop sinning and enter more fully into a wonderful, wonderful relationship. Look, let's look at this one more time. Knowing that Christ, praise God, knowing that what? Knowing that he was raised from the dead and dies no more. Look, my friends. Aren't you so blessed to know that we're going to be with him forevermore? We're going to be with the Lord Jesus forever and ever and ever. And so, as Christ's sufferings led to death and resurrection, so our suffering can help us stop sinning, saints of God, and help us. It can help us through what we go through. Many of us are going through all kinds of things right now. All kinds. How many of you right now can honestly say that you're going through something right now? Oh, that's right. And so suffering can help us. It can help us through walking with God. You see, my friends, Christ's suffering made him victorious over Satan. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he defeated death, hell, and the grave? He defeated Satan. And believers, you and I, suffering, if we follow Christ's example, can strengthen our faith and solidify our obedient lifestyle. Praise God. Believers, my friends, ought to arm themselves with the resolve to be like Christ. For what? So when we face suffering, praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 2. That he no longer, verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 4, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the what? For the will of God. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing, saints? You see, when believers have so armed themselves, that their faith becomes strengthened, and the resolve is to obey. And it will cause all of us to be anxious. Aren't you excited to do the will of God? I wake up every morning. I want to do the will of God. I can't wait for Sundays to preach his word. I can't wait for Wednesday nights like tonight to teach God's word. It's amazing what God does. Look what I found in Romans right up here. Look at this. In Romans chapter 6, 1 through 4, look at this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He answers that rhetorical question. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized what? Into his death. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in verse 4. Therefore, say that with me at home. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the what? Newness of life. That's the key right there. Walking in the newness of life, saints of God. We should bury that old man. We should learn, saints of God, to live holy and righteous before God. Are we going to be perfect? No. And if we do sin, we have an advocate. We have someone that will intercede on our behalf. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is confess our sin, repent from it. And he will wash us and cleanse us and renew us. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church right up here. Look at this. In Colossians 3:3, look at this. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. How many so blessed to know that? Huh? How many so blessed to know that? You see, my friends, this describes the difference between believers' lives without Christ and their new lives with him. Praise God. You see, before conversion, we lived only to satisfy our evil desires. Oh, that's right. And after conversion, we are concerned with living by God's will and not our own anymore. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Aren't you so blessed to know that we now are following the will of God for our life? He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And guess what? His plan is fail-proof. He's going to see us through. He's going to allow us to cross the finish line. We're going to finish this race. Oh, that's right. And whether we have to physically die or he comes and raptures all of us out of here, either or, he's going to allow us to finish the race. Why? Because we are called and chosen. Oh, that's right. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose you and me. And he has placed us now on a solid ground. He has cleansed us. He has washed us. He has purified our hearts. So now we've been justified. We're in the process of sanctification. And soon and very soon, we will be glorified. He already sees us in our glorified state. He sees us in the new body. He sees us in the body that he has prepared for you and I that will live forever. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's move on now to verse 3. In 1 Peter chapter 4. For we spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, as you and I, when we walked in lewdness, oh, look at this, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Wow, saints of God. They used to be us. We used to be part of that. We used to get drunk and so high and do the things that were an abomination to him. Many of us were in and out of bedrooms. Some of us have kids from other partners. Oh, that's right. But yet, God still chose to save you, and he still chose to save me. Praise God. Well, you see, Saint Peter, he urged the believers to no longer live as they had in the past. His list of evil activities resembles Paul's in the book of Romans. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this right now for a moment. In Romans 13:13, look at this. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, and not in strife and envy. We are to no longer be like the world, saints of God. We are to walk in holiness. with clean hands and pure hearts before God, doing the best we can to love Him and to please Him and to worship Him. Listen, the Bible's clear. If you honor Him, He will honor you. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will then give you the desires of your heart according to His will. But we find ourselves, sometimes we get stuck on stupid. Oh yes, we walk away from the will of God and we walk away from the Word of God and we start having a Burger King life, having it our way. And then God has to allow things to take place as He draws us back to the fold and to the grace, and that we would resume our call. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? You see, these are examples of what does not please God. And actions and activities and attitudes that belong to the darkness, it doesn't please Him. These have no place in believers' lives of the scriptures we just read right now. Praise God, praise God. So I'm going to share several points of what we're speaking about today. Immorality right now in our culture is open and excessive indulgence in sexual sins. Everything's about sex. You turn on a TV to watch sports or whatever. Here comes commercials. And now they have same-sex commercials. They got women in half-clad bikinis on, and all the flesh is just hanging out. It's enticing people to sin. We live in that culture. And so God is saying, live a different life now. Learn to let that stuff go. And watch God do the miraculous. Second point is lust is sinful human desire. That's what it is. That's right. That's right. And then another point is feasting and drunkenness refers to excessive eating and use of wine and strong drink. I've heard some wonderful testimonies of people getting delivered from alcohol. That's a stronghold. But the power of God does it, doesn't it? Another point would be wild party and orgies, and where we're often filled with sexual promiscuity. And these were often associated with festivals of some pagan gods. That's why Peter wrote about these. See, nothing has changed. They may not have iPhones and, you know, and tablets and computers, you know, where you can go into a private room and indulge yourself in sexual abominations, sexual activities on a screen. They didn't have that. They just actually went and did it in front of each other. But nothing's changed. The only thing is, today's world, the devil made it more convenient to get more people to sin. So this is why we got to guard our heart. This is why we have to watch what we see. We got to be careful what we see, what we hear, what we say. Because the enemy, Jesus said in the last days, would try to come and deceive even the elect. Oh, that's right. Another point, saints of God, was the worship of idols, and it refers to idolatrous acts. And there's people that will put other things in front of Christ. And it could be something so innocent to a person, yet it's still an idol to God. Oh, I remember when I first got saved 34 years ago, I came into the Christian world, coming out of the world. I remember I still had Charger season tickets, and I couldn't wait to get out of church to go catch the game. And if it was a morning game, yeah, I'll come back to Sunday evenings, because they had a Sunday evening church as well where I went. And so I was trying to fit the world into the schedule of God, until God spoke to me clearly one day. I was coming down Wild Canyon Road up there in Ramona. And I heard God say to me, are you ready to give that to me? And I heard him clearly. In the moment, I said, yes, Lord, I need to give this to you. Once I did that, he opened doors of ministry like, no, man, it just blew me away. And then he opened up a ministry for me and Yolanda, and then the rest is history. I never knew I'd be a pastor. But God takes those steps with us because he knows we're frail. He knows, especially with new Christians, baby Christians, they're brittle. They could crumble right away and run out of the church. They're not seasoned yet. They haven't been exposed to the Word of God yet. And so those are like critical stages of a Christian, a brand new Christian. This is why you can't scale them. You bring them in and you start nurturing them, the Word of God. And you let them know that God is with you, that God can take care of what you're going through. You got to minister them, be patient with them. And they will get it. I got it. And now I'm so very thankful that when I heard his voice, I didn't flick my ear like there was a fly trying to land on it. I heard God clearly. You see, saints, Peter culminated his list with many words indicating that many of the above acts that I just mentioned associated with the worship of pagan gods. Oh, that's right. So now, let's move on. And look at look at this. I need you to see this. Immorality is open and acceptance, indulgence in sexual sins. Number two, lust is sinful human desire. Number three, feasting and drunkenness refers to excessive eating and use of wine and strong drink. While party orgies were often filled with sexual promiscuity, and these were often associated with festivals of pagan gods. There it is, right there. So now, and number five, worship of idols refers to idolatrous acts, as we just covered right now. So let's move on to verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Wow. Wow, let's look at this one more time. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Well, when a person becomes a Christian, saints of God, sometimes his or her lifestyle changes drastically. Mine did. Mine changed immediately. When I got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, I started taking my scissors and I started cutting off relationships of worldly people. Oh, that's right. And I remember I scooped up, I had over 300 CD and albums of soul music, jazz, and R&B. That was what I used to listen to. And I remember I got rid of all of it. And then I just started listening to worship music. Let me just say this. Worship music is powerful because it starts transforming your mind in a heart of praise and glory and honor to God. Let's look what I found here in Corinthians right here. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Look at this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Praise God. Look at this. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Reconciliation. Praise God. You see, saints, this was especially true for the first century believers who had come out of the morally corrupt pagan world. But that's the same of us. We were in a pagan world, no differently. And many Peter's readers were Jewish Christians. Yes. And many also had come from a pagan background. Former Jews would have at least led a morally upright life, while former pagans had been involved in the activities that Peter had just listed. And so, saints, Christians no longer desire to join their pagan friends in their wicked things that they do. And these friends had sought pleasure by denying themselves nothing. Wow. And together they did it all. And when the Christians stop, their friends not only are very surprised, but they also say evil things. That's right, they'll mock you. They'll talk about you. And so this describes, saints of God, the reaction of people who love darkness when they become confronted by the light. Oh, that's right. Our light should shine so bright that it confronts them. And so a believer's refusal to participate in an activity is a silent condemnation of that activity. Praise God. Unbelievers then react with hostility, often because they want to justify their actions or silence their own consciousness. Oh, that's right. So be careful, saints of God. When God saves you, I'm praying that the majority of your friendship outside of your marriage, if you're married, or just your sphere of influence, are believers, trusted believers that'll help you grow, that'll pray for you, that'll strengthen you. Oh, that's right. We need precious people in our life. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's move on to verse 5 and 6. Look at this. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. My. But live according to God in the spirit. That's the key, is to walk in the spirit, friends. Praise God. You see, my friends, unbelievers who live immorally and who say evil things about Christians will one day have to face God. Oh, that's right. We don't have to get in their grill. We don't have to point out their sin. We preach the gospel. We share the gospel. But learn not to hang with them. Why? Because you start hanging around with them, their stuff will rub off on you. Why? Because we still live in this body of flesh. And so this gives believers like you and I, saints of God, great relief and confidence that they will receive justice. Oh, that's right. And God will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. Wow. And judgment may come at any moment. So God could come and take us home and then judge them. And that is why the good news was preached, even to those who have died. Praise God. You see, my friends, these words have caused debate among scholars, resulting in four main views. That's right. Some tie this verse back to Christ's proclamation of salvation to unbelievers who lived before he came. But an understanding of a second chance after death in this verse, it argues against anything that the scriptures identify. There is no second chance once you die. The Bible's clear. It is appointed once to die, then the judgment. Oh, praise God, yes. You see, Scripture is God's final authority. It's forever settled in heaven. Another outlook would be others look back also to that Christ was preaching in salvation to the Old Testament people who had believed in God in the time before Christ and preached on earth, offering them the gift that he brought eternal life. And another thought regarding verses 5 and 6 that you see on the corner of your screen. Still others, my friends, say that this verse refers to the gospel proclaimed by the apostles to those on the earth who were physically alive but spiritually dead. And a fourth point or a thought, most likely, however, saints of God, Peter was referring to those dead at the time of his writing who had heard and accepted the gospel, and many people in the early church had concerns about life after death. Praise God. And so in Thessalonica, Christians worried that loved ones who died before Christ returned might never see Christ. Oh, that's right. I want you to see this right here in Scripture. Let's look at this right here. Let's go there right now. And Thessalonians, look at that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him," what? "Those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself," say that with me at home, "for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will" what? "Rise first." Praise God. Look at this. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, they wondered if those who died would be able to experience the promised eternal life. Peter explained that these believers, although their bodies were punished by death, that is, they died physically, as everyone dies physically, will still one day live in the spirit as God does. Well, we just read that. If they died believing in Christ, God has a plan and a promise for each and every one of us. You see, my friends, Peter's readers needed to be reminded that the dead, both the faithful and their oppressors, would be raised from the dead, and the faithful to eternal reward. Aren't you so blessed? But the unfaithful to eternal damnation and punishment. You see, God's judgment will be perfectly fair. Peter pointed it out, saints, because even those dead from ages past had heard the gospel, the good news, and was first announced when Jesus preached on the earth. Praise God, praise God. But it has been operating since before the creation of the world, and it eternally affects all people, the dead as well as the living. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:4. "Just as he chose us in him before" what? "Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? He's chosen you and I. And so we're going to break down our last verse of scripture, and it's found in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand." This is where I got the evening's message title. "Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? We are to be serious. You see, this verse gives us the vertical component, how we relate to God, to help us overcome the pressure to sin. The fact that God is ready to judge means that the end of the world is coming soon. And these early Christians who faced persecution took great comfort in the fact that their suffering would one day end, and that the evil ways of the wicked one would be judged. You see, my friends, the Lord is ready and waiting, desiring that the gospel should be preached by you and I around the world for many nations. And Peter understood this. Peter understood this. Let's look at this scripture one more time. Let's look at that. What does it say? It says, "But the end of all things is at hand." It's at hand. And Peter, like other apostles, was always aware that Christ could return at any moment. Likewise, believers today must always remember that Christ can come at any time. Oh, that's right. Look what I found in the book of Romans right here as we're coming in for a close. Romans 13, 11 through 14, look at this. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on what? The armor of light. Praise God. Look at this. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill what? To fulfill its lust. Wow. Wow. Look what I found in 1 Corinthians 7:29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Say that with me at home, saints of God, because these words are true. The time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Wow. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians at this time. Look what I found in 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Wow, my friends. Jesus is coming soon. And saints, the shortness of time remaining should motivate you and I as believers to be earnest and disciplined in our prayers. The meaning for today calls for self-discipline when we pray. Praise God, praise God. Rather than a merely quick blessing on our food or a 3-minute devotional, we should reserve extended times for sober, direct communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lack of prayer will render us unprepared for the end times. And we need to be about our Father's business, because Jesus is coming soon. And He's coming very soon. Oh yes, He is, saints of God. He's coming very soon. How many believe that? You got to believe that. You got to believe that He's coming very soon. That's right. And I'm here to let you know that if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time. God's calling you. You may be logged in right now for the first or second time, third time, I don't know. But God's calling you. He's asking you to turn to Him. You see, before the New Testament was written, the first one that said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," was John the Baptist. Then when Jesus came on the scene, He said the same thing, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out to the 120 in the upper room, and it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, and they were all speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance and empowered them. But there was the feast going on, and there were thousands and thousands of people that were required, Jews from around the world or the region, to come and celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord. And the fourth feast was the Feast of Pentecost. And God chose to pour out the Holy Ghost on that feast day. So down below, they were mocking. Oh, these guys are drunk up there. And Peter had great boldness, and he came down. Hallelujah. He came down and said, "You are the ones who crucified the Lord," and brought a conviction upon them. Oh, that's right. And I don't know if you can hear, but the rain that's coming right now is like the rain of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. I feel the power of God right now. And Peter rose up in boldness, came down and convicted them with a sermon. And his first salvational words came out. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin." That means forgiveness of sins. And then he went on to say, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why? "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." That same verse of scripture is in effect today. It's still being used today. Millions around the world are repenting, coming into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you that's listening right now? Have you repented of your sins? Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been washed in the blood? Because when a person repents, then God cleanses them with the blood of Jesus. And without the cleansing, the Holy Spirit cannot enter in. But once the cleansing and the original sin has been removed, then the Holy Spirit comes in to live inside of our vessel. And it's there to help us live the life of a born-again believer. God empowers us. God gives us wisdom. God gives us desire for the things of God. He gives us a desire to pray and to worship and to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Where at one time we didn't have nothing for God. We didn't have no thoughts for Him. And now I wake up every morning, you wake up every morning, praising Him and loving Him and glorifying His name. Well, that could be for you too who's watching. Because once you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you will never be the same. You won't be the same Christian. You won't be struggling in your faith. You will always believe God and the eternal purposes He has for you, even in the midst of your turmoil. You will not be shaken, because there will be no more fear, because fear will be replaced by faith. Praise God and the power of God. And so if you're listening and you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you right now to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. And it goes just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you just got saved, or maybe just want to rededicate yourself, or just even need prayer, look, down below is our banner. Won't you log on our website, our email, our phone number's there. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Some already requested some and they're being mailed out. Listen, we want to pray with you and lead you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And we're mighty, mighty, mighty thankful for all those who have been praying for you. Also, as you can see below, that we're here because many of you support our ministry, and we are so thankful, we are so blessed, because as you can read down below, donations are deeply appreciated. So with that said, I hope you enjoyed this evening's study, and I want to leave you our benediction as we are dismissed this evening. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I say good night. God bless you. Can't wait to see you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.